This episode of Lucas, Tigers, and Bronze is brought to you by PWCC. PWCC is currently running an unlimited free vault promo, which is running through July 31st, through the end of the National. The vault is 100% free for all graded cards valued at over $50. There's no ingestion costs, no storage fees, and unlimited submissions. Just enter the promo code VAULT, V-A-U-L-T, when creating your submission to apply the promo.
Luca Nation, as per usual, some of the best conversations were captured off air, but we'll try to maybe recapture the moment here for you guys. So episode 745 of Lucas, Tigers, and Bronze, we have an industry leader, an industry pioneer here, a repeat guest. This is someone that's been making moves and just delivering a tremendous amount of value, if you ask my opinion, to the hobby. We've had him on before. It's Jesse Craig, head of business development, feels like head of everything over there at PWCC. I want to welcome you back to the show, man. It's good to have you.
Episode 745. That is, every time I hear the number of episodes you guys have done, it shocks me. You guys are animals.
I have an ask for our audience, though. I have an ask. And the ask is this. You guys listen all the time. And we got lunatics who, you know, call us out and say, hey, you said this on 741, but back in episode 312, you said this. All right, well, you know, year and a half's gone by. Things have changed a little bit. I don't know how many times Jesse's been on. And with this episode, does Jesse take the Alec Baldwin crown from Saturday Night Live? Like, is he the most appearances?
Am I?
I don't know. I want to ask, you know, one of our loyal folks to go through the episodes, see how many times Jesse's been on. Three, maybe four times. See how many times Jesse's been on. And see if he now has the crown of the guest that has appeared the most. I'm gonna have to come up with like a belt.
You know how double coverage gives out lemons? I'll give out like what's the opposite of a lemon? Like a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
A lime.
What's cool about you?
I'd rather have a belt. I'd rock it at the National.
A belt, a cage lower belt. I was pretty critical of you. Remember this? Remember the first episode you came on in 2020? I was pretty critical of PWCC, and what I think you did really well. Not to win over my trust, because my trust and my opinion don't matter. What I think you guys have done extremely well is you found what your core competency is. We're going to vault cards better than anybody else. We own our vault. It's on site. I could go downstairs and grab the card. We're going to create content and storytell around those cards better than anybody else. And then we're going to help you guys sell those cards, whether that's $1 million cards, $10 cards, better than anyone else. And you've just gone to work every single day on what it is that PWCC does great. And if you ask my opinion, you guys are number one in the space, and it's by a mile. Talk to people out there who are also running businesses, whether they've run that business for 2-3 months, 2-3 years. What have you guys done? What's the behind the scenes look like that no one else sees?
Lots of brainstorming, lots of conversations. Yeah, great question.
It's very broad. You could have taken that anywhere. Behind the scenes, we drink a lot of Pinot, and, you know.
Once
we're drunk enough, we pick an idea, and we run with it. Let's go, BGS definitely, this week.
Definitely, you know? Drink a lot of wine. I think it all comes from wine drinking. I think that's kind of the key to everything. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes here, obviously. And I think the biggest thing that we do is we always try to keep the end consumer in mind or the owner of the assets in mind. And you put yourself in their shoes, right? Like if I have cards in the vault, which I do, you know, what do I want to see? What would be nice to have? What's wrong with the current industry that we have, the current market? What are some of the pain points, some of the difficulties? And so, you know, you do those brainstorming sessions and you get certain things that come out of them and then certain ideas. Additionally, you know, tech is, you know, we've talked about tech before on here, but tech is a big thing for us. You know, we have a 20-person tech team now in a dev team in-house. So being able to pivot and change things quickly, iterate, do what we call hot fixes internally, it's just there's a lot of flexibility that we have because of the infrastructure as a company that we've built. And I think that's part of the reason why we've been so successful is we keep the customer in mind. We have flexibility. We have dev in-house. And, you know, we want to create, you know, liquidity is really, really at the forefront of all of it. Like if you have assets and you need to sell them or want to sell them, what's the easiest way to do that? Well, having them in our vault, all digitally archived, at a click of a button, you can send them to auction. That's the easiest way to do it. You don't have to ship anything that day. You don't have to do any imaging yourself, any listing. You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's all done there for you. Oh, and you want to buy something offline somewhere else? Well, it comes directly to us, to your Vault account. You don't have to be home to receive a package, sign for a package. You know, none of that stuff. It all, we take care of all the receiving for you. So just simplifying people's lives, simplifying collecting, simplifying investing, all those things are things that we focus on.
And guys, by the way, free vaulting, still take advantage of it. It's, yep. It's the promotions through the end of the month.
Yep, through the end of the month. And so it's $50 minimum. It used to be $250. So you'd get charged a $3 minimum if the card was under $250. Now we drop that all the way down to $50. So it really opens up. I mean, there's a ton of quantity in our market from that $50 to $250 range. And now we will vault those for free. So take advantage of it. Drop off. I mean, bring stuff to the National. We're accepting submissions there. Drop all that stuff off. And we'll get it digitally archived for you back in the vault.
We can talk about the National in a second here. But, I mean, a couple things. One, I'll give you praise. And two, I'll give Andrew some praise. You guys should be proud over at PWCC. And our listeners should really take this to heart. We call it out and we don't love it. I remember when we started this podcast, I would say to Andrew, oh, I'm sending this over to PWCC. Or I bought this. I'm sending it to my vault. And he would say to me, like, why are you using PWCC? What's the point? Now, of course, he was in Mexico. They didn't have New York's state tax, which was, you know, first and foremost, a nice, easy answer for me, right? But beyond that, I would say how you know, here's the tech, here's the this, here's the, you know, the vaulting, the ease of use. If I want to, you know, rearrange my collection in 2 months or 3 months, I bought this. Okay, I'm selling this. I bought that. I bought it off eBay. I'm selling it to these guys if I want to resell it, especially, you know, during the last couple of years where it was kind of like, all right, this thing I bought for $1,000 is now $5. I'm moving that. Like, boom, click a button. And it was very, very easy. And Andrew was always like, I don't see it. You know, like, I don't see it. And what's amazing about it is, I don't know anybody who sings your praises more now than this handsome individual does. And I'm going to say one fun little thing. I'm going to give you credit for what you guys do, but more importantly, you make it fun. And Andrew, maybe, you know, I know we have Jesse here, but maybe he doesn't see it, right? Because he's probably not spending, you know, Sunday night, 10 to 12 with a fancy G game, grape flavored game. With the wacky Wheatus in it that you do. You got a bowl of granola on your belly. You're watching some crazy thing on TV, and you're just bidding away. I mean, not this. You're literally
– he's described this.
Yeah.
Stand-up is the only thing I can watch because my attention is focused on the PWCC Weekly. But here's what I've noticed, and you guys could tell me. Maybe 2018, 19, 20, you guys catered towards – and I don't want to speak for your business, but it seemed to me that the high-end collector, the Cages of the world, he buys one card, it's 5-6 figures. What I think you've done really well is with the weekly auctions is now you cater to the retail investor, right? You have guys like me who I bought, you know, 200 cards for less than Cage bought one Duncan Gold Prism. And it's so simple to buy. I don't need to pay. If I bought those cards off any other site, I'd have to pay individual shipping to my house and deal with all of that tracking. I'd have to pay taxes. Here, it's like a shopping cart on Amazon. I added everything in. I paid one invoice. And today, Thursday, 4 days after winning those auctions, I get them in hand. Let's flip the reverse too. You guys have, we have a customer, Hotshot, who grades with us, but he lives internationally. And we already talk about how we want the hobby to grow internationally. Well, the question is how? So he goes, ship my cards, raw cards to us. He grades them SGC. I get them back in 5 to 7 days. And you know where they're going? They're going all to the PWCC vault because he gets all of the functionality he needs. He could run them in weekly. He could put them on the fixed marketplace. His higher end stuff, he could run in Premier. And if he wants, he could get 500, 600 cards in there and do one shipment internationally back home.
There's 140 cards in a priority mailbox heading your way for him. Little echo there, but yeah, I mean, and he gets to do all this from overseas.
Yeah,
you guys hear me twice,
Andrew? I can hear you twice. Yeah, I can hear you twice.
You gotta fix that. All right,
good. No, but international is a huge piece, and so we actually have an affiliate program that we're launching. You know, we've kind of done it behind the scenes, but we'll be talking about it more at the National. So that's another exciting thing is that, you know, we agree, like, there is, I would say, 70% of the market's cards aren't in the United States. And a lot of those are ungraded. So, you know, you want to talk about getting them into the States, having access to our platforms, to grading, to all that kind of stuff. It's international is a huge component to unlocking a lot of the grails, a lot of just really good quality cards. But you know, they don't, there's no infrastructure internationally. That's stuff that we're working on for sure. But you know, back to Andrew,
he disappeared. Oh.
We lost him.
He disappeared. Hopefully he comes back. Otherwise, it's just going to be me and you, and that could really go off the rails fast.
Oh, if it's just you and me, that could be
He's back.
All right.
Yeah, you're good.
You're good.
So just the other thing, too, on those like couple hundred cards that you bought through weekly, Andrew, it's you only get one package. And I think that's almost the biggest thing, right? Like, you could have 200 different packages come in if you bought all those on like an eBay or wherever it may be. But, you know, we are the only people in our market outside of eBay as a platform that can list the quantity that we do on a consistent basis. And it's so much more simple when we are the curators of the assets and do everything, because we handle all the shipping, we handle everything.
My two favorite things from the PWCC auction is, one, around 11:40, I get a video sent to me every Sunday night, and it's everything that Andrew won. In like a roll, and it's like, I won this. It's like a screen record of like everything you won, and I'll have to say, okay, I like this one, I'm not so sure. A Ben Baller, we have this.
Oh, true. Like, I do have that Soto gold in there.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you bought a Ben Baller, so that's number one. Number two, it's the instantaneous nature of it, right? If I buy a card in the auction and I pay for it, I look in my vault, it's there. It's literally there, like done. Yep. It's not like it's got to move from one state to another on the back of a Penske truck or whatever the hell is going on, right? It's instantaneous. I sell a card, someone pays for it, and boom, the money's in my account. I mean, it's the ease of use, and this is what I used to tell Andrew about all the time, that is a key. Now, you mentioned something. I want to kind of pivot us now, right? Because this is, you know, valuable for the folks who are listening, who are going to be coming to National. And, you know, this is not just a National thing, but obviously it's, you know, National. So let's have some announcements and kickoff and the whole deal, right? You talk about grading. You talk about raw cards. A lot of cards overseas are not graded. A lot of cards out there, they're raw. I have a couple myself. You know, Ian and I pulled some Trevor Lawrence, you know, contender autos and stuff, but they're not, you know, graded yet. So you've announced two grading partnerships, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's very smart, because they are basically different lanes that mm-hmm. you can operate in. You're providing, you know, two different options, let's call it, for, you know, the end consumer. Can you kind of walk through the, you know, the recent announcement, the one that was already there, the Beckett one, the CSG one, and kind of, you know, what people can do at the National, you know, people who are going to the National, you name it. Because I think what you're doing here is really, it's very smart.
Yeah. So we have partnered directly with grading companies to allow people who are ready to sell. They're like, oh, I just need to send these in to get graded, and then I want to sell them. For those cards, we've created, now we have two options. We just announced our Beckett partnership yesterday. Or the day before, whatever day it was. And that is $50 a card with subgrades and autos if the card has an autograph. 10-day turn time once they're at Beckett. So obviously you send them into us. We will look at the cards, because we don't want you to send us $5 cards. We don't want you to end up with a large grading bill. So we will kick stuff back to you. You know, we'll do a quick overview of it, but we'll do our best to kick stuff back to you that we don't feel like is a good fit for you to get graded, because it's just going to cost you money, right? If you're going to try to sell it, you're just going to lose money. So $50 for Beckett, 10-day turn, and CSG is $20 a card and a 10-day turn. So, you know, two different price points. So it's great to have the choice for the end consumer on which one to choose. You know, CSG's made a huge push with their gaming. They're very popular in that. A lot of the, if you guys look at some of the sales data we've had in some of their slabs for sports cards lately too, they're creeping up there. I mean, we had some CSG cards go for like 65% of PSA 9s in a CSG 9. So, I mean, that's pretty darn good for a company that's just getting into, you know, into the sports stuff, really. They're pretty fresh and new at it. So we have those two services. You send them into us. You create a submission. You select where you want it to go. You send it in. Like I said, we vet it quickly. Send it off, 10 days at their facility, comes back, goes into your vault, and straight into weekly auction. And you can look into your vault and you'll see all the cards in there, all listed and graded and being sold in our weekly auctions. So it's pretty simple.
You mentioned two companies, but honestly, tell me if I'm wrong, you'd work with anyone as long as it benefited the consumer, right? Like, to me, you're more agnostic. It's like, hey, if you want to choose CSG, choose CSG. If you want to choose BGS, choose BGS.
Yeah, 100%. So we don't believe in exclusivity like that. We think it's important to give our clients options. And so that's why we're doing it this way. And we feel like it's better for the market too. You'd be able to choose. You go through. But we only partner with people that we trust and we believe in. So there, you know, there's obviously a vetting process that goes in there. And, you know, we're open to partnering with some of the other grading companies as well. If the numbers look right, we feel like it's value add for our clients. Of course, we would do that. We don't want to ever shut anybody off.
Premiere's ending, right?
Yeah.
In a few days here.
Yeah, we're filming this on a Thursday. So it's tonight. Yep.
I think I don't know if you're allowed or you're not allowed, but I think what's extra special for where you are positioned now is you have a lot of data, high end, middle, lower end. Can you give people out there who are listening to the show a little bit of a feeling of what you think might happen economically, what you think might happen with card values? I've given my thesis with like the whole supply shock recently, but I'm curious, you get way more accurate data than I'm just watching it kind of from here. What do you think during national, post-national, kind of the rest of the year looks like from an economic standpoint?
I think it really depends on the asset, obviously. I mean, that's kind of the easy answer. But for commodities, for high-end risky assets, or let's call it ultra-modern cards, even if they're not high-end, ultra-modern, I mean, those are the most susceptible to volatility, right? And so, you know, with in a recession or a downturn or whatever you want to call the economic state that we're in now.
National treasures of young rookies, you know, LaMelo, yeah. Edwards, Tua, Hurts, that
you
kind
might
of
ride the high, you know, the excitement leading up to the season. But the second they step on that field or that court, if they don't perform to some crazy high standard that everybody has in their head, that stuff's going to tank. It happens every year. So right now the last 3 months, everybody started freaking out because oh my God, the world's ending, cards are going down, you know, this and this and this, right? Well, it happens every year that time of year. Basketball's wrapping up, right? Now, not all your favorite stars are still performing and playing. They're not on the field or the court. NFL's not playing, right? Hockey's wrapping up. It's like there's just baseball, and that's kind of it. And baseball has already kicked off. So either someone's performing or they're not. There's not this preseason hype anymore or spring training hype anymore. So May, June, those are slow months. It starts going down in April too. And then you hit July, you've got preseason football around the corner. You got the national around the corner. Come August, you're in preseason football. Now you got NBA season around the corner. And so these next, you know, 3 to 6 months, you see a big uptick in pricing and cards. And then, you know, after Christmas, everything's in full swing, football playoffs, you know, NBA, you know, midseason, you're looking at potential spring training for baseball. That's why in January and February, you see a crazy uptick in cards. But, you know, we do track our PWCC vault values, because now everything, we've changed our operations process where everything runs through the vault. So we price everything. And so when we look at a weekly auction that closes, we can see what the total sales number was versus what we had the cards valued at before that auction closed. And we went down during May and June. We're at like, you know, 98%, you know, 97, 99. We're like, for about 5 weeks in a row, it was right around those values, which just meant stuff was slowly ticking down because of that time of year. Well, the last three auctions we've had, we've been exactly, ironically, at 105% the last three auctions. So
meaning you guys insure it at, you know, $100 and it ends at 105 or it ends at 95.
Correct. Now we are a little conservative when we price stuff,
yep.
But that gives you an idea. And like there was times in January when stuff would go up to, you know, 112, 113 or February, right, when the market's really hot. But I think that gives you an idea that I don't want to say we've hit the floor or the basement, but I think it gives you an idea that stuff is. It's kind of leveling out a little bit and people are getting excited about the national and preseason football.
One of my favorite games to play, by the way, Jesse, is after I win these cards to see how I did compare. It's the insured value is what you guys call it on mm-hmm. your site, right?
Yeah.
It's like, how did I do? Did I get a steal? Like I bought this for 12. It's worth 22. Let's go, Andrew. There is that gamification for me. I've been paying attention
to it. Short value will get updated based on what you're paying for it all. So you probably, when you're looking at the old, it's the old insured value. It's probably what the person paid for when they had it in their vault or what it was assigned a value. But it's, I just, guys, if you didn't hear that, the end was the payoff there. Go back and listen to the last 2 minutes because Andrew asked a question. I didn't know where Jesse was going to go with it because we don't know the data that they have, right? The question was, hey, you know, we have some craziness going on. You guys get to see way more than the two idiots here who talk to you 745 times do. These guys, you know what slabs are the best. You know what cards are selling. You know what's coming in. You have access to this. You know, it was like when we asked, you know, a group subber. Well, what are you seeing? Oh, well, Juan Soto's Chrome cards are grading 96% PSA 10. You know, like it's like that inside information. We have no idea, and it makes sense because of the power buyer feature that you guys have, where you're basically trying to find items to help people look at things that are below currently bid, below what their appraiser, the underperforming assets. So it would make sense that you guys check the auctions and say, oh, these are trading at a discount to what we thought and what the value is. Think of the data that was just provided there, right? It backs up, at least PWCC's data, and there's a lot of cards being sold. It backs up the fact that over the last couple of months, things might have been trading at a slight discount to what the appraised value was. But look, we've now turned. Like you said, we might have hit a floor. Who knows? You never know. Next one might be 98% again, but unlikely. Sure. It's not 112 yet, but we've come from the 97s, 98s, and now hit a 105. Maybe next time it'll be 107. And it's this excitement, this run international, like you said, this run. I think that's Andrew, you probably couldn't have asked for any better answer than that, right? It's, you know, it's a chart, you know, it's one of those kind of things.
Yep. I urge our people, because there's people that buy off PWCC, but even if you don't, there is value. And I'll explain in two ways how you could use PWCC if you're not buying. So one thing, if you favorite or even bid on items, they go into your my buying history if you just bid on it. And you, believe it or not, can export that and run data off of it. Which is crazy because we work with grading companies who don't even have an export function to pull grades off. And we know we live in the data age. But second thing that struck me, and I texted Cage, I was like, Cage, last auction, there was like 150 Curries running. This auction, there's like 25. So now that takes a little bit of work on your end. But there's a ton of really smart people who can, last auction, there was 46 Peyton Mannings. This one, there's 122. What's that going to mean, right? And have that data. I think it's more important to predict prices than people actually realize.
Well, and when you're able to look at our auction, this is what's cool about weekly as well. When you're able to look at our auction and what's currently running, well, if there is a lull in a certain player and you want to take advantage of getting that player's asset in the auction, flash it, right? You have the ability, if the assets are in your vault, click a button and it sends it straight into the currently running auction. So the flash feature has become incredibly popular. We had over 2,000 cards, I think, in the last weekly that closed that were flash out of 9,000 cards.
I've used it myself. It can't be any easier. As long as it's in by Wednesday night, midnight, it gets into the current auction. I mean, it really is. And I love it as a buyer. It's one of the things that I do in my sort function. I look for things that were flashed in and think, all right, maybe it doesn't have the eyeballs on it that it would otherwise have. People are looking for a quick liquidity. And I say, unfortunately for me, I always bid on them. And then they sell for more. So use flash. I won't let it sell cheap. Trust me.
there's a lot of things that, and we're going to keep creating things that are going to help people. Andrew, you mentioned favorites and that kind of stuff. We actually have a new feature launching in the next few weeks. It's going to be twofold. It'll be a universal search. So you'll be able to search for a player across not only weekly, but fixed price and premier. So you'll be able to go, like, one search will pull up any whatever your search criteria is. It'll pull up anything that it matches in all three of those marketplaces. Additionally, one thing that we've been lacking that I've been working hard with our dev team to do, and we didn't want to release it until we could actually do something a little bit differently, and it will be, which is it's really exciting, but the save search feature. Right, that you can do on eBay, wherever it may be, right? And you want to get notifications when X card is being sold because maybe you're not a super active buyer, or you're looking for something very specific, or you look for a lot of really specific things, and it's damn near impossible right now on our PWCC weekly auction to search for all those things because you have so much stuff you search for. Well, you can save individual searches, right? Now, if you do that on eBay, you got to click into each one of them and look at all the shit.
Worst. Right? And then they make suggestions for you that are not even close. I mean, you know, if I search on PWCC, Zion.
Your safe search, Carmen Prism, Electra X Fractor. Zion, and they show you Jenna Prism. Jameson X Fractor. Like, no.
That's, no, listen to this. So you'll be able, let's say you save 125 searches. Don't kill me. Okay. 125 yes. searches you save. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to select all and do one search for all of them at one time. So you don't have to click into 125 different freaking things that you'd have to do on other platforms, which that's a huge time saver. So now those might be super rare cards that you don't see very often. So you click the search, it's like nothing available. Well, now you just do all of them, and any cards that match any of that search criteria will pull up.
Well, you guys are hobby people, so you're doing it specifically for what you would want to do if you were an end user. Right, mm-hmm. The eBay one, what I was going to say. And yes, Andrew, I search for Carmen Electra cards. I love Carmen Electra.
I favored it too this past week. That's
so,
what I'm saying.
So it's, I am looking for a Zion Prism Rookie Green Pulsar, which is the retail out of 25.
Shouldn't have sold it.
Right? No, but I'll get it back to you.
He's not going to be happy.
But I put that in my search term on PWCC, and only if that card shows up will I get a thing. But if I put it in for eBay, I save it. Every day they send me, based on your save search, we have this. And it's a Hoops Pulsar Zion for $1.50. And it's some other Pulsar piece of crap. And it's, and I'm like, this is not even close to what I'm looking for. Stop sending me emails. And I have to unsave the search. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, stop emailing me with garbage. So,
Jesse, I didn't think about it until you just said it, but you're really selling back people time. It's all of these things that you're offering, all these services, it's to sell back people time.
Yeah.
That's the value.
That's where a lot of the tech and things that we have in play, that's what they do, is they save you a lot of time and energy, because this is a hobby for people. Or it's an investment. This isn't your job for a lot of people, right? So this is time that you might be spending with your family otherwise, or your buddies, or whoever it may be. And so how can we simplify everything? Well, here you go.
All right. Well, I mean, you set the bar pretty high, right? Because here we are saying, you know, you're providing grading and instant liquidity options through two grading companies, right? The tech is unmatched, right? You're doing, you know, weekly auctions. You're doing premier auctions, right? You're taking in cards at the national. We're doing all this stuff. What's the next thing? I mean, I know you guys, you don't rest on your laurels. And let me rephrase the question here too, because Andrew gave you credit, and I'm going to give you the same credit. There are companies out there that forget who they are in the hobby. You name, Andrew talks about this all the time, because, you know, we're like, oh, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do it. And he's like, you know what? Let's just keep doing what we're doing. We're very good at what we do, right? Let's just keep doing this. And don't forget what your core is, right? You guys, you are the best at getting in the assets, vaulting the assets, providing liquidity, sales for those assets. The data is amazing. The tech is amazing. The app is amazing. And you don't go to shows and say, all right, you know what we're going to do now, guys? You know, we're going to start, doing fractionalization, or just the hypothetical, right? You know, because that's not your lane, right?
We could have started grading a while ago, Cage. I know that's PWCC AES.
Yep.
That's trusted. That is trusted.
Yep. Very much so.
Yeah, we've had that for a long time.
That's a great feature, like Power Buyer, like Flash, mm-hmm. that is part and parcel with what they're doing, trying to maximize the value for people who sell and trying to make a time save for people who are buying, right? I mean, that helps both the seller of the card and the buyer who wants to get a nicely centered vintage card or whatever it may be. So what's next? What can we expect from you guys at National?
I mean, look, anything that we launch, people need to realize that there has been a heavy vetting and, you know, a lot of stuff behind the scenes, typically for a long time, before we announce things or launch things, right? Things take a lot of time for us. We don't just run out and do something because, oh, it might make us some money. It doesn't make any sense. So we have to feel like there's a good practical use for it. And it takes a lot of process behind the scenes to get to that point. But the next thing for us that we're going to have an announcement next week, going to be around raw cards. And how at the end of this year, we will have the ability for our clients to sell raw cards again.
Nice.
So awesome. That's a big deal. It really is a big deal, because anybody that deals, because we know now with grading, it's difficult to sometimes figure out what's like, does it make sense to spend $50 or $20 or whatever, maybe to grade this card? Do I want to take the risk? If I get a, if I get an 8.5 back or a 9 back, like, am I going to lose money? Like, should, would it make more sense just to get liquid and sell this thing ungraded? Right. Well, you're going to be able to do that with us now. And it's going to be the best ungraded experience that you've ever seen in our market. And it's going to change the game for ungraded cards.
Think about this, guys. Like, you send a $200 card. Okay, I'll pay $4 in shipping, $5 in shipping. But you sell a $9 graded card, you don't want to pay shipping and tax. That cuts, that's 50% of your margin, right? So it's not even necessarily the grading. And Cage talks a lot about this, like having all of those tiers of, not the pyramid scheme, but the pyramid. You used to rip packs, send it into PSA at $8, get it back, sell it, and color up.
And repeat.
Repeat. And repeat. That's been gone. So yeah. Adding an experience that's frictionless, it's all under one roof. You don't have to pay tax. You don't have to pay shipping. Send it there. Get it authenticated. Get your money out. Reinvest. That reduction in friction is huge.
Yeah. It's going to be a big deal. So you rip, right? And look, we know when you rip, depending on the product, sometimes there's literally cards that are just garbage. Yep. Yes. They're worth nothing. But you could open a product, go, oh, this would be good for raw authentication through PWCC. This would be good for CSG or Beckett grading. And then I want to send that, maybe it's a high end card. Maybe I want to send it straight to Premier because it's a big hit out of Flawless or whatever. Right. But like the full swirl of what to do with that asset, once you have pulled it out of a product, or if you have it sitting on a shelf or whatever it may be, we're going to be able to handle it.
I mean, listen, think about it this way. I know grading can happen very quickly, right? But the Mac Jones Black 1/1 comes to mind, right? That card was sold as a raw card.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was sold again, and then it got graded in the whole nine yards. The first person who sold it, I mean, the rumor I heard was somebody sold it for $100,000, and the person who paid for $100,000 then resold it for like $175,000 because that was somebody who, you know, had access to other buyers and the whole deal. I don't know whether that's true or not, but let's just take that as the story, right? Let's say somebody pulls a card like that, and they have the ability to now get it authenticated through you guys and sell it immediately, even without grading it. You don't have to send it to a grading company, you name it. It's got the PWCC name behind it. It's authentic, you name it. And now they're getting access to the PWCC marketplace and all the people who bid on it to sell a card. It doesn't have to be graded. Even a card like that doesn't have to be graded.
In corporate America, my sister works for SAP. They call that a suite of options. They charge big money. Suite
of options. Yeah, suite of options. Exactly.
Pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet is what it is.
Hey, pretty sweet.
Jesse, enough of the pleasantries. What do you hate about the hobby? What is one thing that just irks you and you're like, if I could change this, man –
I'm going to narrow this question. You can't take the easy way out and just say what everybody else says when I ask this question. You can't just say you hate Eric Myers. Everybody says that. You can't use that answer.
Eric is one of my sales guys. I hate the fucking negativity. It absolutely drives me up a wall. Why? And everybody has something to say about something else and whatever it may be. And it's like, man, can we just calm down? Like, I understand that we're passionate about trading cards and market, but good Lord, like the back and forth that I see sometimes, and I try to stay off of social media, but I need to be on there for an extent. Right. But it's kind of blows my mind the things that people say and the keyboard warriors that are out there and the negativity and like what part of it's trolling and what part of it's real. And I don't know. It's just, it's gotten pretty out of hand.
It's tough to separate the message from the messenger, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy to fix.
That's the easiest thing for me.
Negativity goes away when the prices go up. So we're about to see less negativity.
Not true. When Bull Bull was going up, everyone was yelling at people for buying Bull Bull.
Yeah, but that was out of love. Those are smart people.
One other thing that I don't like. I don't like the backhanded self-promotion of whatever assets that you buy.
Chilling.
I don't know,
shilling.
But there's certain people I feel like
not shill bidding.
Well, there's shill bidding, sure. Yeah. But I feel like there's certain people that talk about it that have facts and data behind what they're saying, and it makes sense. And then other people are just like, "Oh, this is the best thing since sliced bread," for whatever reason, and it's some stupid reason. but it's because they own some of them. And it's like, well, take it easy. Like, you know, it just so the problem is it affects the new people that are coming in the space. If they don't know what's really going on, they don't have any history of that card, and they might latch onto what somebody says and buy something and lose money. Or that person, you know, gets them to buy that short term and then sells their stuff or whatever.
Yep.
So
I've been saying all along there is a kaboom cabal, and people like to make they laugh at me and say I'm insane, but I've actually uncovered that there is an Instagram group of just kaboom owners, and if they don't call that the kaboom cabal, I don't know what they should totally that should be the name of the group on there.
They haven't changed the group name yet.
They haven't changed it. They need you guys. I give you permission. All right, I'll take the trademark off just for you guys to use it. But I like what you're saying. You know, as the market tries to compare itself more to other asset classes like stocks and the whole nine yards, commodities, you know, there's a reason why at the end of a piece where somebody says, hey, I think Disney stock is undervalued, or hey, I think Apple stock is primed for a run in the next 6 months. At the end, the person who's writing it says, we are long on Disney stock because we have a position in it. We own stock in Apple. Or at the end, they 100%. Say, we wrote this, but we do not have any stock in this company. We wrote this. Like, there's that safe harbor kind of disclaimer on there. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Which one of those options is better, Cage? Let me rephrase. Which one of those would tempt you to buy more? Would you trust someone who owned an asset and wrote
So that's a tough. That's a tough thing, but that's for someone to decide. Mm-hmm. Right now, you don't know.
At least with a disclaimer, you have the information. And the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is because I know people, I know who buys assets. And so I know when I see somebody pumping something on Instagram, if they're not saying that they own those, well, I know that they do. So this is like a PSA to everybody that is on Instagram pumping stuff. Like, well, if you buy through us, like I know what you're doing. Now, I love when people are forthcoming and they say, look, I own some of these. You know, in the position I am, I always talk about that. Like, if I own anything, I always talk about what I own. I collect game used patch cards. That's what I collect, and that's what I buy. And I do that because I don't understand why you'd want to buy a manufactured patch. It doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, because I like Christmas and I like Jalen Green.
Fair.
I don't even know if this was a dream. I've been dreaming like hard this week.
Wait. You don't know if it was a dream or not?
Dude, some of my best ideas, this like six-figure business we built, have just come in my sleep, by the way. So this, and I was like, do you think in 20 years, these National Treasures cards that people are paying, because I really want an Anthony Edwards card. Like, I love the Nike one. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, right now people are paying big money. But in 20 years, forget even how good he is. If that's not associated with him, people are going to – do you think that this year, last year's National Treasures that aren't game-worn are going to have lasting power in 15, 20 years?
Maybe, maybe not. I think what will happen, though, is I do think that game-use stuff is going to eclipse anything. That's what I would bet on that more than anything. I would bet on Flawless. I would bet on some of this immaculate game-use stuff. If it's game used in the future, it just makes logical sense to me. When I see things, I'm like, that doesn't make any logical sense. Like, how can that hold up over time? Kind of what you're saying. It just makes sense that those game used patch cards are going to eclipse anything that's not game used. I don't care if it's a lesser brand. I think it's going to eclipse it. So
you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. Buy Obsidian.
Yeah. What's that?
Buy Obsidian.
By Obsidian, there you go.
Game Spectra, as long as it's game used, Jesse says, gonna be better than National Treasures.
Well, I mean, just think about it logically.
I agree. Listen, you know, I agree 100%. The last year, I've sold a bunch of them on whatnot, but last year I was stockpiling Kobe game used. As long as the card on the back said, this is game used by the player on the front. Some of them I was even able to buy that say what game it was used in.
Yeah, MLB. MLB typically, they don't typically, but on some of their products, because they were smart enough, they put on their authentication stickers, right? They had a identification number, and that linked it back to wherever the jersey was from. But, you know, really moving forward, Fanatics should be the largest buyer of game-used memorabilia in the world. They should be. That needs to happen because these products need to have game-used jerseys in them. Otherwise, I mean – I'm sure there's a market for people because they might not be able to afford the game use stuff. But for me, just from an ROI perspective, game use makes way more sense.
The premium products have to.
Have to. Like, come on. What are we talking about here? Like, they have to. Like, National Treasures has got to be, especially when you're releasing the product months after the season ends. You tell me you don't have enough time to get game use jerseys from early on in the season and stick them in your product?
Cade, what was I – so just to be transparent, what was I buying this weekend?
I can't afford National Treasures. I buy Clearly Donruss.
I was buying Curry game used jersey, game used patch cards.
Yep.
There you go.
That's what he likes. He's got a window he operates in. You know?
$75 to $150.
Yeah, so you can scoop up game used stuff for inexpensive.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Note to Fanatics, you should be competing with Andrew and buying up these cards to use in your own stuff. Cheapest way to get game used. Buy the old game used and put them in your cards. Let's go. Jesse, only I come up with this.
One last tough question, and up to you. You could answer. You could not answer. This week we talked about Fanatics listing cards on their marketplace for $150, $200 for like the Hoops cards. And some people reached out and they gave us info. They said they don't have dynamic pricing. Somehow Cage knows a lot about everything. So they don't have dynamic pricing. So they listed those cards a few years ago and they don't have the option to change. What worries me is that PWCC has a hold on buying and selling for hobbyists. But for people coming in, right, that's Fanatics, right? We've been promised that 80 million, you know, email subscriber list. They get an email newsletter. They're like, hey, check out our Zion jerseys. They scroll past Zion and they find this card and they overpay for it. Do you have any issue? You run a marketplace. Is there anything wrong with that? It's capitalism. It's America. If someone buys it, they buy it. Or do you think that there's something wrong with pricing things so, I'll use the word aggressively.
I'm a little behind the eight ball here. So they had a fixed price card up for sale on their marketplace. Was this owned by an individual, owned by Fanatics? Do we know?
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know, but it's on the Fanatics site. So our assumption is it's owned by Fanatics. It's a Hoops Zion rookie PSA 9, and it's like $149.
If it's owned by Fanatics, yes, I have a problem with it. If it's owned by an individual and they're listing it on their marketplace, just like you would on our marketplace, well, Fanatics can't control that. And then it's just an open marketplace, right? And then it's just like we don't control pricing on a fixed price marketplace. Well, hey, end consumer, do a little bit of research. Don't pay $150 for that card because it's trash. You know, so that to me is the big determining factor. It's like, who owns the asset? If Fanatics owns it, well, then that's BS. They shouldn't be listing that stuff for that high because that's ridiculous. But they're also, their memorabilia side, they're a retailer. If you go buy, clothing, right?
Yep.
If you go buy clothing off of their website, typically it's not cheap, but it's easy. And you've got access to basically anything you want from any team you want. Their licensing is amazing. They have, you know, licenses with everybody. So you can find whatever you're looking for, but you're paying retail.
Exactly.
But they own all those. So do they own the cards? Well, that's the question. And I think it's really
it's interesting to think, are cards goods like jerseys and shirts, or are they assets like stocks and NFTs?
They're assets, baby.
They're assets.
Well, that's why StockX trading cards failed with StockX, because they are individual assets, not goods. That you can't put up a PSA 10 base image of a Luka prism and sell 500 of those individually to different people, but use the same image because each of those look different.
Could do wax though.
What's that?
Could do wax. Anything with the UPC.
Anything with a barcode. Yep. 100%. 100%.
So Jesse, we're hanging out next week. What should people know? You know, we have a lot of people from our audience coming. What's your ask of our Luka Nation? You know, is it bring some cards, maybe try to take advantage of the PWCC vault? They do accept in-person, I don't want to call them submissions, but submissions.
Yeah, they're submissions, yeah.
What's your ask of people? Stop by the booth. If you don't have a sales representative, get one maybe?
For sure. So we have two booths at the show. We have one in the corporate area, then we have one out on the main floor. And I would say, look, if you have ungraded cards and you want to do something with them, at least come talk to us. Bring them, come talk to us. We can run through the suite of options that we have for you. If you have graded cards and you want to vault them, bring them. You get free shipping back to our facility. We're going to have an armored truck pick up this year at the end of the show. Just like we did last year, we took about 100 million back from the show last year. We'll see what the numbers are this year. But bring them. Bring everything. Come chat with us. That's what we're here for. We have our entire sales team there. We have customer service reps there. We have everybody there. We've got 30 people going to the show. So we'll be locked and loaded and ready to go.
With the premiere ending tonight, what kind of stuff are you going to have on display? You're not going to have a premiere running while National is off.
We won't have one running, but we're going to be previewing our August premiere. So we'll have about 40 or 50 of the cards from our August premiere, some big, big, big cards at the show in our booth that you can come check out too.
That's always my favorite. Like, I'm a Mint Collective, like seeing, you know, the Magic Bird 10 and seeing the Clemente and seeing the Brady, the highest graded Brady's contender that you guys have. I mean, like, it's always cool to see the cards that you guys bring out there. It's, I mean, it's like going to a museum, part of the National experience.
Yeah.
I don't understand the 2012 Prizm Gold appeal. Can you explain it to me like I'm a kindergartner?
Like you're a kindergartner. Okay. So it is, from a quantity and notoriety perspective, it is probably the most popular product that's ever been released in the last 30 years. And that is the first year it was released.
More important than Exquisite.
Popular.
More popular than Exquisite.
Because Exquisite, not everybody can afford Exquisite. So it's not as popular.
Yeah, but
even more important.
Even if you put it in the category, Exquisite, Topps Chrome, Prizm. I mean, it's only a handful of brands, names, you know, lines, products that check that box.
Because there's more quantity from that than basically anything. So it touches so many more people. And that is like 2012, that's the chase. That's the chase for anybody. A gold card from 2012. Is the chase card. And for the Brady that we have up specifically, right? Like, when's the last time we saw one of those auction? Well,
never.
You probably haven't, right?
Never.
And nobody knows where the black is. Like, that's never surfaced. And this one happens to be one of 10. So it was the first gold that was ever produced. You know, some guys care about, you know, serial numbering first or last. And it's the first one that was ever made off the print run.
A little lesson with that Brady, guys, just to let you know, where we are today with grading isn't necessarily where we're going to be in 5-10 years. That Brady from 2012 was graded BGS 10 years ago. So just – and now it wouldn't even be a thought process up until your announcement with Beckett. That goes to PSA. You get a 9 on that, you're happy. It doesn't really matter. Guys, this whole landscape, we talked about it with Cage yesterday. I was like, being nimble and dynamic in this space – is a big plus. It's a big plus. So that was fascinating to see that was quad 9-5s, which are usually like,
whew. And guys, watch. Beckett's making some moves. They're not going to go away quietly. They were quiet for a couple of years, but they have new leadership in place. And if you have Beckett slabs, I would feel good about it because they will be making changes.
I got some. I got some tens myself recently during the downturn. They're in the vault.
There you go.
Not black label though. I mean, no. I don't have that kind of money. Just gold. Just gold. Just, you know. Just
lastly, gold. For our whales, like the people that bat above my average, you guys also do cash advances. There's also the option where if you have awesome inventory, you have awesome cards that you don't want to part with, you guys could do something with them with liquidity and financing. Can you talk about that real quick before we wrap, Jesse?
Yeah. Liquidity, like we mentioned many times, right? Part of liquidity is getting cash for your assets as fast as possible. And so we have cash advances for anything that you send to auction. We can advance up to 50% of the conservative market value of the asset. If it's a higher end card and I feel comfortable with it, I have the authority to go a little bit higher than 50. So that's, you know, a discussion that you can have between your sales rep, assuming you have one. And so, yeah, that liquidity, and that's easy. We do that all day and twice on Sunday. And then obviously our lending that we've talked about before. We're the first people ever to lend on trading cards. If you have your assets in the vault, they're available to lend on and you don't have to sell them. You can take up to 40% of the market value of that asset, depending on the asset's risk, and get that in the form of a loan with your cards in the vault as collateral.
You guys, a lot of our audience, you bought off of PWCC for maybe the first time. If you guys DM me, ask for a sales rep. I can't, like, I, I vouch for Jesse. Jesse's good people, but his team is awesome. We have Eric Myers. They just added Worf. They have Brock. There's people I'm probably missing out. Ask for a sales rep. Ask for a sales rep. Ask for someone to work with. Their customer service team, Heather, Betsy, are incredible. So if you're new, something that you might not realize is there's a service-oriented arm to PWCC. So it's the tech plus the service. So if you're kind of like, hey, I sent cards into the vault, what do I do? Reach out, be like, hey, can you guys put me in touch with someone? And I'm pretty confident they will, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a 15-person sales team now. So yeah, let us know. We can help. Yeah.
Love you, Lucy Nation. See you next week.
Tigers and Bronze, oh my podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.